Dan, we're back for week 6, our podcast, taping on a Monday night this time. How's it going out there?
Pretty good, Z. How are you?
Good. Dan's trying to tape over his iPhone for the first time ever. This brand new technology hopefully will improve in a or result in an improved show, or it'll totally screw it up.
Who knows, but so far so good.
It sounds crisp.
Good.
Dan, in our first podcast ever this year, aka like 4 weeks ago.
Way back.
You said something that I brushed off at the time, and then I listened back to it later on when I was editing. And what you said was teams need to accumulate wins in September. And I guess you could extend that into early October. And what we've seen over this past weekend and the first 5 weeks is that the teams doing the best are the ones accumulating wins. If you're an Ole Miss and you get a big time win over Alabama, it doesn't mean anything if you turn around and blow it against Florida. So I've been watching ESPN and other things, and everybody's got a new hot take. But I think the Dan P. cold take from 5 weeks ago is the one that's proven correct this season.
Absolutely.
Accumulate those wins.
No one is ever going to say, oh, well, they're 12-0. However, they played a very close game in early September on the road. Like, no one's going to care about that. And a perfect example is looking back at Ohio State this last week against Indiana. No one's going to care that they only won by a touchdown. Every year, a team has a scare, usually on the road in a game where they don't care. Next week, I believe Ohio State plays against Penn State. You know, Penn State's not an elite team by any means, but there's still a, you know, Ohio versus Pennsylvania rivalry that's been going on for a long time. So, it's just important to just win games early in the season. It doesn't matter about how many points and style points like it used to back, you know, when there were a couple teams who may go undefeated. It's a totally different, you know, system now, and keep on winning.
Yeah, I think that is the point. The playoff era has eliminated the need for any style points. If you look at Florida State last year, no team has ever gone undefeated in the regular season with such sloppy, imprecise play. And guess what? They made it in the playoff. That's all you need to do.
You're right.
All right, Dan, the new AP poll is out.
Oh.
As I think I mentioned, we're recording on a Monday. So this is hot news. Ohio State, TCU, Baylor, 3. Michigan State, Utah jumps to 5. Clemson up to 6. LSU, 7. Bama at 8. A&M, 9. Oklahoma, 10. Florida, 11 after the big win. Florida State, 12. And then Northwestern, 13. Those are the undefeateds, plus Alabama. After that, it's you get into Ole Miss and a bunch of one-loss teams. You okay with that current poll?
No, it's not right. I'm pulling it up right now. All right, it's up. Ohio State, 1 is right. 2 would be Art Briles and Baylor. 3 would be Michigan State. 4 would be TCU. 5 would be Clemson. 6 would be LSU. Utah would be, no, A&M at 7. Utah at 8. And then probably Oklahoma at 9 and Florida at 10. That'd be roughly mine.
How do you feel about Alabama having the one loss and being ahead of A&M, Oklahoma, Florida, State, Northwestern?
If we look ahead to next week, Alabama plays A&M, so 8-9 isn't really going to matter. It'll shake itself out next week.
Right. How about the other polls? I don't know if you pay close attention, but there's several other polls in college football. There's the AP poll, Ohio State number 1, coaches poll, Ohio State number 1. Then you've got your two statistic nerd polls, the Massey poll and the S&P poll. I don't really pay attention to these, and this is why. Massey poll, you want to guess who's number 1? In fact, if you can guess who's number 1 in either Massey or S&P, I will buy you a DP Doe calzone and mail it out there.
There's a DP Doe that just opened up here at Arizona State.
Well, I will give you a $5 gift card to go yourself then.
They're actually up, dude. Okay, hold on. A quick aside. When I first moved into UConn, they were $4.25. So you got, 75 cents was a tip. Then they move up to 450. Then there were five. I move here, 675. What happened to this world? All right. Anyway, what was the question?
Who's number one in the Massey poll and who's number one in the S&P poll? And then who's number one in the composite poll, which is the combination of all four of those?
Oklahoma State and Iowa.
No, it's not quite that bad, but not far off. We've got Oklahoma number one in the Massey poll, Alabama number one in the S&P, and the composite poll, which takes all of the polls into account. Clemson number one, Oklahoma two, Alabama three. So if there was ever a debate about, you know, statistics versus humans, I think you need them both, but seems like the humans are winning right now.
It's pretty silly.
This is why the robots will never take over.
That's okay. Alabama is going to lose next week against A&M, but we'll talk about that later.
Several good games this past weekend. Florida dominates Ole Miss. Alabama dominates Georgia. Arizona State bounces back strong and beats UCLA. And then there was the big Clemson-Notre Dame showdown. What do you want to get into first?
I want to talk about UCLA just laying a stone-cold egg real quick. Come on, UCLA. This is what you guys do. Arizona State's not good, but they just took them way too lightly, and they didn't show up, and this is what happens. And it's a shame. Boo-hoo.
Yeah, that one was a little past my bedtime, but I didn't really get to watch much of it, but it seemed like Arizona State turned in a somewhat impressive performance, or did UCLA just totally blow it and Arizona State's still no good?
Half and half, but it was still a lackluster job by UCLA.
Did you want to, would you like to apologize for your pick of Georgia over Alabama?
I don't know what I'm thinking. Alabama always wins against a team that has a normal offense, a normal pro style offense. They only lose when they play a spread, so I should have known that they were going to win against Georgia, who plays a pro style. But teams that can go 4 or 5 wide and spread them out, they can beat them.
I have to say I was really impressed by Florida. Alabama was just domination from minute one to the end of the game. I stopped watching very early on because it seemed pretty evident what was going on and how it was going to end. Ole Miss Florida surprised me a lot more. Florida didn't just win the game. They didn't just dominate. They controlled every single aspect of the game for every single minute of the game, pretty much.
I know. It was embarrassing for Ole Miss, but that's what happens. It's a road SEC game. It's take the points, usually, you know, and then on top of that, a home underdog at the Swamp. Way too much hype for Ole Miss.
Like McElwain. I thought he called a great game. I thought Will Grier stepped up and made some what you might call game management type throws on third and medium. He would hit the tight end and get 8 yards and just keep the chains moving.
Yeah.
Nice performance.
A very nice performance indeed. How cool is it that Hargraves has his own nickname now? VH3?
VH3 is good.
It's real good, and you got to be real good to get a cool nickname like that. He's going top 5 in the draft. He's so dirty. What an absolute stone cold number one corner he is. It's a fun thing to watch.
I appreciate a good nickname. I'm a big fan right now of Tyrod Taylor, aka T-Mobile.
Yeah, I know. Seriously,
it's good. I don't know if he'll earn that nickname over the long haul, but we will see. Anything else you want to say about the games?
Not really. I mean, just a quick recap. You know, Alabama took care of Georgia. Georgia played very conservative and it killed them. Art Briles, you're just so cool. We had the highest over-under of all time at 90. It was easily going over. Both teams kind of took their foot off the gas kind of at halftime, where there could have been 125 points scored plus. That was a fun over, if you had that. They look great. Impressive win by TCU. UT looks like they've hit an absolute rock bottom, and they're a mess. Mm-hmm. A quick story over the weekend. The guy who runs the University of Texas Twitter account at halftime when they were losing, I believe 38 or 35 to nothing to TCU, wrote, "Fire Charlie, I'm out," and tweeted it. Quickly, the university erased the tweet, but it was too late. The damage was done. The guy got fired right afterwards, but he was so fed up, he actually had to put that tweet out there before he left. How crazy is that? That's the kind of world we live in, and that's the kind of heat Chaz Strong's under. So what a complicated situation. That's going to be a messy, messy thing to watch over the next 6 months. A lot of ins, lots of outs to this one. But anyway, college football season's really starting to get fun. We're down to just a handful of undefeated teams that are, like, you know, real contenders. It's going to be fun. Like, I have no idea who's going to be the Final Four, really, still. I mean, it's really tough to say.
It's wide open, and we'll get to Mr. Chaz Strong when we get to the lines. But one thing I want to say about Clemson-Notre Dame, the game was weird. The weather was a huge factor, obviously. Notre Dame had critical turnovers. They might have had a chance at winning. So I don't think you can take a lot away from either team in that game. But if you haven't seen it, everybody should go online and watch Dabo. Is it Dabo or Dabo? I'm never sure of his name. I think it's Dabo. Anyway, his post-game speech was awesome. It was one of the things that reminded me when I played sports, like the good side of sports. He was just so enthusiastic. By the way, you just vaped and disappeared in a cloud of smoke, Dan. That was like, and then just settled and you emerged. That was a badass move.
I can keep doing that.
It's hard to pay attention. Anyway, if you haven't seen the speech, it was awesome, especially the part where he was talking about, we give you a scholarship, we give you meals, but we can't give you guts. BYOG. That's good
so
stuff.
Good.
It's and really then he danced and did the nay-nay afterwards in the locker room. That's a video you want to watch too. But let me tell you, as someone who's played many sports and played for many good coaches, many mediocre coaches, many not so good coaches, to have a coach like that who's so enthusiastic about it, it makes it so much better. It's one of the things I used to love about playing sports. Yeah. And when you have a shitty coach, it basically ruins the sport. So that's awesome. I think a lot of players, young kids, are going to see that and they're going to say, this is pretty cool. I think I might want to play at Clemson.
Absolutely. You know, it's him. It's Kevin Sumlin at A&M. It's that young, energetic personality. I mean, these kids are, you know, 16 years old when they're talking to him. Not 20, not 19, 16. You know, you got to be able to really get down on their level. And these guys have the ability to do it. That's why I love them. That's why their programs are top 10 and they're fun to watch. You know, it's great.
Yeah. I mean, say no disrespect to, for example, the old ball coach, but when he's going in there to a 16-year-old's house, they don't care about the Danny Werfel playing at Florida. They just see a 70-year-old man and, or they see Dabo Swinney doing the nay-nay and they think, I know where I'm going.
Yeah. It's real easy to see.
All right, Dan, it's time for the lines. Unless you have anything else you'd like to add.
No, I'm ready to roll. Let's do the lines.
All right, 12 p.m., Doris Burke game of the week, Indiana at Penn State. I have to say, Indiana really could have won that Ohio State game. It's not just that they hung tough. They were down in scoring position to tie the game with their backup quarterback. They're good. They're a very good Big Ten team. And Penn State's favored by 8. I think that's way too much. Penn State's running backs are uncertain. Lynch is most likely out. Barkley, who knows? Without those two guys, Penn State's not the same team. So I say take the points, and I say take the points ASAP because it's going to drop throughout the week.
I think you're right as well. I think that line will go to an even touchdown. So if you like Penn State, if you like Indiana, take the points. It will be a letdown game for Indiana, of course. So keep that in mind. So you're going to expect a pretty shitty first half out of them. But maybe they'll turn it around. But it's a hard game. I'd probably stay away, but you're the Penn State expert.
Penn State can't score without Saquon Barkley. Lynch is okay too, but without both of them, they've got nothing. They have no running game. Hackenberg needs that running game to establish the passing game. I'm still not convinced that James Franklin is a good coach in-game. He's an excellent recruiter and he's cool as hell, but still not convinced he can coach in the game. So take Indiana. I'm not quite going to call this free money like I did with last week's Michigan game, but this is about as good of a line as you're going to find in the Big Ten these days.
Hell yeah.
New Mexico State at Ole Miss, 41.5 point line. Does Ole Miss bounce back, or how do they bounce back?
Yeah, they are going to bounce back. You know, it's funny. When this line came out in June I'm trying to think where in Vegas. But anyway, when it came out in June, it was only 28 points. Now it's up in the mid-40s. I would probably stay away. It's a ton of points, but Ole Miss is going to put on a show. Actually, you know what? I'd probably lay it because they put up a ton of points at home before in these kind of spots this year, scoring 70 or more. So there's a third time, and they want to put on a show after they lost to Florida to keep them in like the top 12 range. So lay the 45 or whatever the hell it is. Who cares? Let's do it.
I'm a little hesitant to lay this many points at this point of the season when teams start to get the picture that we're in October. You just need to win. I know a lot of teams come out in September and they want to establish that they're one of the better teams, so they try to blow everyone out. By this point, I think they just try to get the win and get out of there, try to not get injured. So I usually avoid a line this high, except for one other game, which we'll get to in just a second.
Okay.
LSU at South Carolina. South Carolina, a 12-point home dog right now. Now, this is an important week for gambling, what we will call the look-ahead week. There aren't a ton of huge games this week, but there are a lot of big games next week. And so when betting, in addition to checking the weather, you need to look at the look-ahead game from this point forward. LSU has Florida next week.
Yeah.
So there's a potential that they're going to look ahead, maybe not underestimate South Carolina because that is an SEC team, but they're probably not going to give them their all. Yep. I would stay away.
Yeah, I completely agree. I would either take South Carolina or not bet the game at all.
All right. One thing, this usually goes without saying in our show, but I feel like I should always reiterate. We're doing this on Monday night. By the time you hear it, it'll be Tuesday. These lines will change a lot throughout the week. So take our wisdom and not our absolute lines. Dan, Baylor at the worst team in history, Kansas, 42-point line. This is a line I will take all day.
Lay it. This is the best offense that they've ever had. Better than the RG3, better than Nick Florence, better than Bryce Petty. Unstoppable all the way around. Their running backs are all insane. They have like four elite wide receivers who are as good as anyone in the country. Seth Russell's making all the right choices. And this is a revenge game for Seth Russell. Seth Russell was recruited by Charlie Weiss at Kansas. He was recruited by Turner Gill at Kansas. He goes to Kansas to play. They fire Turner Gill. Idiot Charlie Weiss shows up, says, "I don't like you," says, "No scholarship for you. You're off the team." He transfers out. The rest is history. Now he gets to go back to Kansas and light them on fire. Lay it. It's going to be a revenge spot.
I didn't know that. I'm obviously too lazy to look things up like that. So
fire.
I'm going with you. One thing I'll look at, I'm a big fan of the first half lines, Dan, as you know. If you got a 42-point line, your first half line, you're probably looking at, what would you say, 25, 26?
28.
All right, 28's pushing it, but I think Baylor is going to be up 28-35 at the end of the first half.
Massacre.
I would consider the double first half and full game line. Possibly an over, depending on what it is. We're a little early in the week for over-unders, but I think Baylor could score easily 60 points on their own if they'd like to.
Every game. This offense is incredible. It really is that good.
Well, the reason I hesitate to say 70 or 80 is because they do have West Virginia next week, which is a true revenge game in every sense of the word. Baylor hasn't played anyone great this season, but I think, unless I'm missing somebody, they're the only team who's really dominated every week. So there is a chance they may be the best team right now. It's really tough to say. Unproven. Yeah. But I look forward to next week. That's going to tell us a lot. Maryland at Ohio State. 32.5 point line. Sounds very high, but I can't tell people how bad Maryland is this year. If you haven't watched them, which means you're a normal human, they're bad, man. And even a mediocre Ohio State, the way they've been playing, should be able to beat them by 40. So I would say small bet on OSU, not a huge bet, but a small one.
I completely agree. Maryland's an absolute piece of trash.
What you want to do, put down a $5 or $10 bet, win some free money there, and then, you know, re-up on a later game with that extra money.
There you go.
Red River Rivalry. Remember when this used to be like one of the top five or three games of the year? Now it is like noon game. Doesn't even make the top, I would say, three games of this week. Any thoughts on this game?
I know, seriously.
I have nothing.
It's not really what it used to be, obviously. But it's still going to be a fun kind of game. God. I think you have to lay the points with Oklahoma. I mean, it's completely absurd. Until Texas proves anything, you cannot bet on them whatsoever. So lay it with Oklahoma. I mean, we might look back and go, oh, my God, Texas went 3-9 this year, and they were 1-11 against the spread or something like that. So I think you just got to keep riding against them until they prove you otherwise. So as much as I don't like Oklahoma, I'm going to lay the 17.
Totally with you. If you took away the names of these teams and just posted their resumes side by side, this would be a 30-point line. The only thing that keeps it somewhat close is the rivalry aspect of it. But rivalries aren't close every year. Even this game, Oklahoma's blown out Texas. Texas has blown out Oklahoma. I don't know how any solid, good state of mind gambler could put any money on Texas now.
Exactly.
Dan, what's going to happen with Charlie Strong over the next, say, 8 weeks?
He's going to lose a bunch of games. People are going to get impatient, and somewhere around mid-January, they're going to fire him.
You know, I'm wrong about a lot of picks week to week, but I'm usually not as wrong about coaches. I thought he was going to do well there. I thought he would struggle his first year. I thought they'd be 8-4 his second year, and then I thought they'd contend for the Big 12 in his third year. I don't know what happened.
He's getting out-recruited everywhere. Houston had a higher national ranking in the recruiting last year than Texas. You can't get out-recruited by Houston. It's as simple as that. You're the University of Texas at Austin. So, I don't know. People are scared. They don't want to go to that mess. Kids want to play, you know, right away, who are five-star. I don't know. It's bad. And also keep in mind that the AD who wanted Charlie Strong, who hired Charlie Strong, is no longer the AD. So the guy who hired you is gone. That puts you in a tough spot. New regime, new system. Watch out, Charlie. It sucks, but I'm interested to see where he could go after this. If he still remains in a Power 5 conference at a head coaching position, Power 5 conference as a coordinator, or a lower, you know, other conference as a head coach. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but I have a feeling that he's gone in January.
I agree, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him on the Houston Texans or some other pro team in some sort of skill position coaching, or maybe he snags a coordinator job somewhere. But if I were him, and of course I'm not in so many ways, but I would be so disgruntled by what happened, you know, doing so well in Louisville, going to Texas, getting no support from the fan base, from the AD, from the program, no support really from anyone, no chance to succeed. I would be done with, at least big time college football in the South. Maybe come up north where they don't care as much. Come to UConn, Charlie, as I say to every coach. Come on over.
Yeah.
We'll take you.
Always available. I don't care who the current head coach is or what the contract details are. The position's always open.
Absolutely. Well, let's say we did this with Oregon a couple weeks ago. you are hired by the AD of Texas. I don't know who that is. Some guy in a giant oil hat. Not the AD, but the president of Texas. T. Boone Smith. T. Boone Pickens' distant cousin.
Smith.
T. Boone Smith.
Distant cousin by first name only? That's interesting.
Yes, it's the rare first name cousin.
Yeah, it's very rare.
All right, ignore all that. You get hired for Texas, Dan. They pay you $100,000 a year in cash and $2 million in brisket. You take the job.
I love brisket.
What do you do in that first month? What are your first moves?
Probably get a good pair of running shoes because that brisket is going to be good and I don't want it to, infest my body afterwards. So there's going to be a lot of cardio probably. That'd be the first thing I'd do.
All right, let me rephrase the question, Dan. You first month you spend eating brisket. Second month you spend running it off. Third month you're at South by Southwest.
Okay.
Fourth month, what do you do?
Probably have just a little bit more of that really thinly sliced brisket. But then after that, I'm going to fire Charlie Strong. I'm going to hope I can lure Chip Kelly out of there. If not, hire a big splash name. Offer anyone who's cool the freaking job there. Yeah.
Do you go spread no matter what?
Yeah. Absolutely. Up-tempo, Clemson, Texas A&M style. I would actually interview each of their coaches for it. It's a higher prestige job. I would do that. I would
Dabo to Texas?
Yeah, there you go. Dabo to Texas. Be amazing. He can win a national title there. He can't win a national title at Clemson.
Do you think that the fact that Baylor, TCU, now Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, all these teams run the spread, do you think that hurts Texas, then maybe they'd be better off if they stuck to pro style and got all the guys who would succeed in the pro style better than they would in the spread? Pitch it how Nick Saban pitches it, that we're training you for the pros.
No, because I think Nick Saban plays in the SEC where there's more teams that play a similar system, but in the Big 12, kids – are a fan of playing that up-tempo system so they can get stats, and stats get you recognized. So they want to get, a whole bunch of catches a la Michael Crabtree, at Texas Tech, or Justin Blackman at Oklahoma State. All those guys need numbers to go to the pros, so that's why they want to go in an up-tempo system. Texas has to go back to that and mimic TCU, which makes people at UT insane that they have to go look at TCU and Art Briles down at Baylor for advice. Has hell froze over? Like, that's insane. Like, that's if like the New England Patriots are like, God, the freaking Jacksonville Jaguars just really got this figured out and we gotta really lock into what they're doing, because I mean that's literally what it's like if you're a UT fan. It's that bad. It's hard to imagine. Even if you're from the Northeast or you're from California or Arizona, I don't think you can comprehend what that means. Very important.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to learn that there's an element of pride holding them back, that we're not going to copy TCU. We're the University of Texas. Why should we have to play that spread style? That's for amateurs.
Yeah, well, they have to, or else they're going to be extinct like they are right now.
Fair enough. Navy at Notre Dame, 3:30 games. Notre Dame, a 14-point favorite. I would urge people to be very careful. First off, Notre Dame had an emotional loss last week, and then Navy, as we all know, plays that really weird style, triple option, hard to play against, hard to bet against. I always tell people stay away from those option teams like Navy, Army, even Georgia Tech.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Notre Dame handled Georgia Tech earlier in the year, and they play a similar system. This line opened at 16, it's down to 14. I would still kind of like Notre Dame in this spot. I think they can hold Navy to just a few points and win on some turnovers, and I think they'll win pretty comfortably. That's coming from me. I hate Notre Dame, so there you go.
I like Notre Dame a lot this year, even in the loss. I think they're very talented. DeShone Kizer is a good backup quarterback. He's really coming into that starting role nicely. They've got some good receivers. The guy who looks like What is that name of that rapper who sings the song in Furious 7 where he doesn't actually sing?
Not sure.
This is the problem with not knowing anything about popular music. It's like one of the biggest songs of the last year. And the guy who's credited with the song doesn't actually sing in it. It's just some guy on piano. And then he raps like two words. I'm sure someone will get at me on Twitter. But the receiver looks like that dude. Okay. And he's got the golden dreadlocks. That's all besides the point. Notre Dame's good. I just don't like Navy betting purposes. That's the kind of cutting insight you get here on Take the Points podcast. I'm cutting out that whole part.
Yeah, we'll see.
Northwestern at Michigan opened at minus 12 for Michigan. I have to clarify, that's how bad that line is. Within 10 minutes, it dropped to minus 10. Now it's at minus 8. By the time you hear this, probably going to be 6 or 7. Everybody on earth jumping on Northwestern with that line.
I like Michigan, but not a lot. This might be a close game. I'm going to go with the Harbaugh until further notice. I know Northwestern's undefeated. They've looked good. They had a great win last week. Nice shutout win. Over-under, only 36 in this game. 36. Screw the Michigan bet. Take the over. It's college football.
Oh, two stout defenses, Dan. Two of the best.
20-17, 24. I don't know. Who knows? But 36 is not enough.
6-4 final.
Wow, I love that.
I don't know about this one. Justin Jackson having a great season. Northwestern's offensive line and QB are really coming along. I said a couple weeks ago they can't pass. They've gotten better. Yeah, they're in the meat of the schedule. They got I wrote this down. Michigan, then Iowa, then Nebraska, then Penn State. So we're about to find out just how good Northwestern really is. It seems to me like they're good. It seems to me like Michigan is once again good. I got some more cutting insight for you, Dan.
Oh, here we go.
Last 10 games against the spread. Northwestern, 5-5. Michigan, 5-5.
Wow.
That doesn't help at all. My point is this to me should almost be a pick 'em. So I'm just going to take the points.
Fair enough. I'm going to bet the over.
All right. Georgia Tech at Clemson. I've been pretty clear, I think, the last week or two that you need to stay away from Georgia Tech until we figure out whether they're good or terrible. What do you think?
I thought this line would be slightly higher, but obviously it's a letdown spot for Clemson, but they look great. Mike Williams is still out for Clemson. It's tough. I would probably stay away from this. This is a really tough spot.
I would stay away from Georgia Tech until further notice. I haven't seen a team this season that's more all over the place. They could dominate a game. They could lose and be terrible. You just don't know what you're getting with them week to week. Georgia at Tennessee. A game of horseshoes?
Lord, I've really been real stressed. I'm down and out.
What do you think? I have no opinion on this game.
I feel like Mark Richt is paid $30 million under the table by some evil organization, and he knows when he has to lose. And they're like, don't worry, you're going to win on the road at Tennessee by exactly 3 and push this damn line. And no one's really going to remember that game. You're still in it for a national title, Mark. Ha, ha, ha. And then we get to Halloween. We have a good laugh. It's a trick or treat. But it's going to be a spooky surprise for Mark Richt.
Are you suggesting Mark Richt is part of some sort of college football Illuminati?
He is the head of it. I'm pretty sure. He is, what's the saying, sheep and wolves or something with clothes. I'm not sure what it is.
There's a saying, a wolf in sheep's clothing, but I don't know if that's an Illuminati thing. I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy.
I'm not even sure what that means, but all I know is Mark Richt knows how to follow the script, and he either creates the script or he's given it. He is a shady dude, but there's no way Tennessee's winning this game. No way. Mark it down. No way. It's so stupid. Rigged. Georgia's going to win. Some shady nonsense is going to go down.
For those who missed our last podcast, I think it was the last one or 2 weeks ago, Dan has a theory that Mark Richt has figured out how to perpetually keep his job by always going 9-3. There's six games that George is always going to win. They play six crappy teams a year, roughly. The other six games he arranges an every other year win schedule so that he goes 3-3 in those. And that George is always 9-3, always ends the season between number 9 and number 13, always goes to like the Outback Bowl. And Mark Richt will be the coach in 2038, still doing the same shit.
That's exactly correct.
Zero championships.
Here we go at Tennessee. Here we go. They're going to win by a field goal. It's going to be stupid.
Wisconsin at Nebraska. Nebraska, a 1.5-point favorite. I wrote down a lot, but I think I'm going to skip it and just say this is the biggest stay-away game of the year. You cannot trust either of these teams.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm not watching it at all.
Yeah, this is for two teams with those names. This is about as bad a game as you're going to see. Get it together, Wisconsin. Get it together, Nebraska. There you go.
Get it together.
Hey, Dan, our two favorite teams are up next in successive games, not in this one game. But first we got our hometown heroes, the Cuse. Mm. They travel to South Florida. South Florida is a 4-point favorite.
Yeah, I don't ever bet Syracuse. I have no logic behind this game, so lay the 4.
Syracuse quarterback Eric Dungy was injured. He's looking good to play, according to Syracuse.com. So that should not change anything. I just thought
I'd let you know. They also said that Onondaga Lake had fish that were looking good to eat as well. So take that for what it's worth. And he may not be good. He may be radioactive.
There was an asterisk next to that story that said good to eat as compared to the fish in Chernobyl, which is the only other lake in the world more polluted than Onondaga Lake.
Mm. Orange fish. Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned other stories because while I was looking this story up, I noted some of the other stories currently running on Syracuse.com. I'll throw them out and you can tell me what you think of any or all of these.
Please do.
Oneida Indian Nation blasts Donald Trump for supporting the Washington Redskins.
Next.
Onondaga County proposes sewer rate increase in 2016 budget.
Next.
This is the website for the whole city. Stewart's to open second store in Clay.
Ooh, that's interesting.
I bet you if you're not from Syracuse, that doesn't even make sense.
No, but I find it slightly amusing.
Here's a good one, Dan. I wonder if you have a hot take on it. There was an article called Why Geese Fly in a V.
I've never really thought of that. I don't need to know that for any part of my life. It's not going to help me with my career or social life. I'm not going to impress anyone with my knowledge of the flying V, unless it's Mighty Ducks.
I assume they were just copying Mighty Ducks.
I think that's the answer. I think they didn't know what they were doing until like 93, and then they had a meeting of all the geese around the world, and they showed some footage, and now they know how to fly properly. I'm pretty sure we should put that on Wikipedia.
I think so. Wikipedia is very accurate, though, so we might want to double-check first before we update it.
Well, you know.
Should we update that to the Geese Wikipedia page or the Emilio Estevez Wikipedia page?
Both? I think we should put a link on the Emilio page to the Geese article.
Okay. Also, a photo slideshow of changing leaf colors. That was the last thing.
Well, it's...
Do you miss the foliage, Dan, living in Arizona?
No, because we have it here. People think we don't have trees. We have trees that have leaves in fall. Like, it's the same thing. It just doesn't snow. Like, that's what happens.
All right, our other favorite team, Dan, UConn at the University of Central Florida. University of Central Florida is a 2-point favorite. You're the UConn alum, but I would like to say, as someone who just lives in the general area, I am shocked and appalled and deeply insulted. Central Florida is 0-5 and has by far the worst team they've ever had in the George O'Leary era, and they are favored by 2 over UConn. UConn football fever, Dan. Catch it.
It's completely unbelievable that this team played in a BCS game like in our
Which one,
lifetime.
UCF or UConn or both?
Oh, UConn in particular, but both, my God. This is embarrassing. I'm going to take UConn out of pride to win outright in an upset.
UCF is terrible, Dan. They're one of the worst teams in college football. They're Kansas-esque, to use a phrase I've just made up.
Well, I kind of like that phrase, and we're going to go with UConn to pull it off.
I think Kansas could beat Central Florida right now.
Wow, that's saying something.
And UConn is a 2-point underdog. So take UConn. I dare say this is a good bet.
Wow, there you go.
Lock of the week.
Oh,
No,
no.
I'm just kidding. I would never waste a lock of the week on UConn. Let's see. Oregon State at Arizona. Arizona coming off a 55-17 pounding by Stanford. And then, of course, that followed a pounding by UCLA a couple weeks ago.
Huh?
Dan, defend your home state team.
It's Rich Rod. We know all about Rich Rod. Every time that you think he's going to be good, he's bad. Every time you think he's going to be bad, he's good. Everyone thinks they sucks. Lay it. It went from 12 and a half to 10. Don't care. Somehow Arizona's going to win this game by 3 touchdowns. It's just stupid, but it's going to happen.
Washington State at Oregon. Oregon, a 18-point favorite. This is a 6 p.m. game. Well, Washington State kept it surprisingly close last week, probably their best loss of the year against the Pac-12 North leading Cal. Oregon had a average bounce back game against Colorado. No?
Well, yes. No, I'm just shaking my head at Oregon for being still lame.
Oregon is going to have Oregon Trail themed uniforms for this.
I saw that, which was a fantastic video or a computer game, I'm going to have to say. Oregon Trail taught you a lot about rationing supplies or perishing in the Midwest. In this case, I don't like Oregon this year. Their running back Byron Marshall's out for the year. That sucks. I don't know about Vernor Adams' health. The backup sucks. Helfrich sucks.
Does it matter if he's healthy? I mean, he hasn't been that great.
Yeah, because he is the guy who knows all of the pass protection if he has to, and it's important to have a number one running back. Like, there's more than just carries
Oh, I meant
involved.
Vernon Adams, sorry.
Oh yeah, well,
I didn't
if
think
he's
Lockie was
healthy.
any worse than him.
I thought he was much worse, actually. But anyway, I don't like Oregon. I'm going to take the points with Washington State. It's crazy because we've seen Washington State played Oregon a bunch over the past, 10 years of the high flying offense, and it's always like 35, 38 and a half, 33 and a half. This year's 17 and a half. That shows you how much Oregon's fallen off.
Dan, you'll appreciate this, and so will many of our listeners. As I said, they're sporting the Oregon Trail themed uniforms. Oregon fans, as you might imagine, are not too thrilled with the team this year. So I saw on Facebook this message about the new uniforms. I urge everyone to go read the comments from Oregon fans. Pretty much go to any website and you'll see the same comments. The one I like the most is, are they going to die of dysentery like they did against Utah?
That's hilarious.
That's
That's
good.
pretty
Whoever wrote that, kudos on a job well done. You are using the
smart.
internet to the fullest potential.
There's a lot going in on, like that's just a really good line. That's just really smart.
All right, a few night games to get through before we wrap things up. Boise State at Colorado State. I'm going to go out on a limb and make this my lock of the week, Dan. 15-point line. Boise, they had a tough one against Washington, but they pulled out the win. They lost on a Hail Mary to a pretty good BYU team. Since then, they have had 3 games, 2 50-plus point shutouts against Idaho State and Hawaii. I think they beat them 52-0 and 55-0 or something like that. They also put up 50 and blew out Virginia, a Power Five school, even though they're not great. Colorado State is not good. They're in a rebuilding year. They just lost to Utah State by 15 points. So I'm laying this all day with Boise. I think this is one of the easier bets of the week.
I agree. I actually think that they are probably the best team they've had there at Boise since Kellen Moore. So hats off to Boise.
Yeah, they lost one early, so they're kind of out of the national conversation, but this is a very good Boise team. I wouldn't be surprised if they finish out 11-1 and end up in the NY6.
Oh, wow, there you go.
Yeah. Arkansas at Alabama. Bama with potentially a look-ahead game. Texas A&M on the slate next week. You think they'll come through?
Yeah, I think they will smash them because it's a pro style. So even though they get A&M next week, I think they'll take care of business this game like a 38-10 type score. So lay it with Alabama. I still think Alabama's going to lose four games, people. It's just not going to be right now.
Okay, moving along. Oklahoma State at West Virginia. This line, this is one I anticipate will have changed a lot by the time you hear this.
Crazy,
but
crazy
when I checked, West Virginia -7. Now we've got Oklahoma State squeaking out a win over K-State, but they are undefeated. West Virginia just lost by 20 points, Dan. How the hell is this a 7-point line?
Home field's really worth a lot, especially in this series. Even the Oklahoma State's had a big problem playing there before. I remember even with the best Oklahoma State teams, they struggled there. That being said, Oklahoma State this year is just finding ways to win these close games. So I'm going to take the points for sure.
Totally agree. We've said many times West Virginia is one of the toughest home field advantages, especially now they're in the Big 12 because of the travel. You can't just fly into West Virginia. You fly to somewhere in Virginia or Pittsburgh or something like that. And then you take like a car or a bus. I think at some point you get on a donkey.
Yeah.
It's tough. But they shouldn't be favored by 7, even at that rate. Worst case, I think for Oklahoma State, they lose by 3.
There you go.
Florida at Missouri. Possibly for the SEC East title. Big game.
Missouri sucks. They're just overrated. They haven't played well. Florida obviously is going to be in a letdown spot, but I still like them. I'm going to go with Florida in this game.
Florida is in the rare look-ahead slash letdown spot. They've got LSU next week.
Welcome but to the SEC.
That's the thing. Welcome to the SEC and the SEC East. You can't mail it in when you're playing a team like Missouri. I think they interviewed McElwain earlier today, and he acknowledged that Missouri is sort of, even though they don't seem as good, they're the team to beat as they've won the SEC East for a couple years. So I think I'll have them ready. I think you have to lay it if you're going to bet this game.
There you go.
TCU.
Matty Mock out.
Oh, is he? All right.
Yeah.
Lay it with Florida. They look really good last week. I think it'll continue at least for a week or two.
Same here.
TCU at Kansas State. Anything else? You've talked a lot about TCU already. Anything to add?
No. Obviously it's a tough place to play, but Kansas State's quarterback's out. They have the backup. It's only 8.5, 9. I'd lay it with TCU.
All right. Michigan State at Rutgers. Michigan State has Michigan next week. This is a classic look-ahead game. Rutgers sucks, but I just have a feeling that this is a spot where Michigan State is not going to be paying full attention. As they show with Purdue last week, they're just, they play to the level of their opponent.
Yeah, but still, Rutgers is bad. I think Michigan State would just ease their way through this game. I'd probably lay it, but I don't love it.
I'm very torn on this one. I think Michigan State should beat them by 40, just on talent alone, but it's in New Jersey. Players are going to be hopped up, getting ready to do Jaeger bombs after the game. I don't know. I would stay away. The U travels to Florida State. This is like the Criminal Bowl.
Sometimes. And this is a weird one. There's a lot of injuries. Like, I don't know what's going on in this game. This is a rivalry game. I'm going to completely stay away from this one, 100%.
For betting purposes, I'm staying away. Florida State, I think, is going to be one of the next top 10 teams to drop a game. I just don't think they're that great this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if Miami's the team to do it. So if you're feeling real ambitious, try a little money line bet.
That is correct.
All right, Danny. The future Pac-12 championship. What is this? We got a dog on the podcast.
Looks exactly like your old dog from back in the day.
Yeah. What is this guy's name?
Yellow Lab. His name's Kane.
What's Kane's pick for Cal Utah? Get him to bark once for Cal, twice for Utah.
Utah it is.
You know, I saw a writer or an article on ESPN today. This is from one of their Pac-12 writers, so it wasn't just some random person. He predicted Utah to the playoff, Cal to the Rose Bowl. And then in the same article, he had Stanford in the Alamo, USC in the Holiday, UCLA in the Hyundai Sun Bowl, and Oregon in the Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl. What do you think about that?
That's an interesting projection, I think, to say the least.
I think it's a little ambitious and possibly a little early, a lot early.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I believe in Utah. I'm not sure I believe in Cal.
Same here.
All right, so Cal travels to Utah, which is a tough place to play. Would you lay the 7 or are you staying
Yeah.
away?
I'm probably gonna stay away. Cal's still undefeated. They got a great quarterback. Probably lean Cal, even though Utah's looked impressive, but stay away. That's a really tough spot.
So I would like to
It's in everyone's hands.
what is happening here?
Sorry, there was an ad that popped up while I was looking at lines. We're back.
Autoplay ads are the worst.
Yeah.
Half of the websites out there have turned their monetization strategy is basically used car salesman. It's really bad, like pop-up ads everywhere. Now they have pop-up ads that take over the whole screen. It's out of control. I fear for my profession, Dan.
Horseshit.
Oh, so I wanted to add Utah. We said several weeks ago, I think when Spillett was on, he said that Utah was great and that they were going to beat Oregon straight up. I've been saying for weeks that Jared Goff is the best QB in the country. I was just watching ESPN earlier where they were saying that Utah's great. Now we've got Utah picked for the playoff. I saw a comparison between Jared Goff and Aaron Rodgers. I'd like to start a new segment on Take the Points called "We Told You 3 Weeks Ago, You Dumb Fucks." And I would like to start with this. Utah's great. Jared Goff's awesome. Cal, I wouldn't say is really awesome, but they got a great QB. So this is a good game. I'm going to be watching.
I like it.
All right, Dan, last game. Colorado at Arizona State. All you.
It's about the easiest game of the year for Arizona State, but this. Take Arizona State. It's the easiest game they have at home all year.
The line's currently at 15. Maybe you'll get it down to 14. Who knows?
It's close. It's, yeah.
That's it, Dan. There's not really a game of the week this week, so we're done.
Pretty lame. Oh, wait, I have to tell you about my teaser that's not come in yet this year.
Yeah, you lost last
We're 0
week.
for 3.
So you had UCLA. All they needed to do was win straight up. And of
Yep.
course, your hometown team, you must have felt very torn. Your hometown team finally gets a bounce back win they needed, yet they take down your 4-team teaser.
It's unbelievable. It was just horrible luck. But I'm feeling pretty good about this one. I mean, then again, I feel good about all of them. And then I get hosed. But I got some things for you this week. Okay, here we go. We actually forgot to talk about an important Thursday night game, Washington at Southern Cal. Southern Cal is minus 16.5. I'm going to trim that down to 3.5 and take USC minus 3.5 home against Washington. That's the Sarkisian Bowl.
I usually leave the Thursday game off of these podcasts in case it takes me a long time to edit. This week should be fine, though.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the first one. Then I'm going to go ahead and take Alabama and trim that 16.5 down to 3.5 as well against Arkansas.
Sounds good so far.
Okay. Well, it's just a matter of time. I'm going to take Oklahoma State plus 20 points at West Virginia. That could be dangerous. Somehow I feel myself losing that. And then I'm going to take LSU in a straight pick 'em at South Carolina.
Yeah. Again, this is where I tell you where you're wrong. This one's a tough one. I don't see Alabama losing to Arkansas. I don't see USC losing to Washington. Is that game in Washington or at USC? Okay.
USC night game.
All right, you've got that one then. West Virginia, you never know what can happen. Dana Holgorsen can just get a whole keg full of Red Bull, drink it up before the game. He'll just run wild. He's been a little tamed down, I've noticed. I saw him on some show the other day. All his hairs were perfectly in place. He was talking calm and rational. I hope that everything's all right.
Yeah, maybe he's has some counseling going on, but it's just a matter of time before he snaps. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, hopefully he's in a good place. I mean, he wasn't going crazy. He wasn't disheveled. There was nothing wrong with him. I was really worried.
Worst case scenario for the University of Texas, if there's no good head coaches and Chip Kelly doesn't want to go, call up Holgorsen and make him the head coach.
Holgorsen will at least adapt you to the style of play you want until a good coach is ready.
Yeah, he will.
He'll be a good, like, seat warmer.
He will.
So, I forgot what your fourth game is, but I guess that's the one you're going to lose.
Let's see. We got Alabama.
Oh, LSU. South Carolina.
USC.
Dan, it's me. It's the ball coach.
Oh.
I'm here to fuck up your 4-team teaser. I heard the way your podcast talked bad about me earlier, saying I'm too old to recruit. I'm not too old. Age is a state of mind. I can do the nay-nay. Come on, watch me. I'll do the
You cannot do the nay-nay.
I can.
Don't do the nay-nay.
I'll take my shirt off. I'll wave it like a helicopter.
Okay.
That's the nay-nay, right?
Pablo.
I'm Steve Spurrier. I'm the ball coach. I do whatever I want. I'll beat Les Miles.
Okay. All right.
I've lost it.
First of all, it's North Carolina raise up, not South Carolina, but still a good Petey Pablo reference. In 2015, I would give you my not hat off, my shirt off for that one, I believe would be the right term. Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he'll screw me over and Fournette will like twist an ankle, so it's gonna suck. But one of these times, I'm gonna win. You never know.
I just like to say my ball coach impression died out at the end there. It was indicative of his coaching career at South Carolina. It was going strong at first.
Oh, that's pretty mean.
Is it? I'm sorry, ball coach. I love the ball coach. He gets a lifetime achievement award on this podcast.
Fuck yeah, he does. He's a cool dude.
We'll do that in one of our future shows, the Take the Points Lifetime Achievement Awards.
I'm on board.
Danny Werfel, ball coach. Charlie
Perfect.
Ward.
Love.
We'll think of some others. Kajana Carter.
So, everyone, hit us up as usual. Tom will give you the full rundown right now.
No, I'm going social media black for the next 2 weeks.
No Pinterest?
No, I will not pin anything. I will not link up. I will not link up with you. I will not pin anything. I will not fave or like any of your comments.
Oh,
this is social media free. All right, fine. Hit us up on Vine. Send us your a 6-minute or a 6-second video of you talking about your favorite team. Preferably include some racist jokes like all other Vine videos.
Yeah, or pictures of penises, which I don't want to see, but I know they have to be in there. So
well, legally on Vine, it's in the terms and conditions. You must have a penis shot, a racist joke, preferably both.
Okay, so, while talking about your favorite team, but it's 2015, you can do that in 6 seconds. That's a lot of time.
Yeah, you'll want to, you know, write out a brief script before so you don't waste all your time.
It's a good idea. Okay, so Vine's a good spot to hit us up. Where else, Tom?
Hit us up on that new People app where you can go on and rate human beings. Go, please, put in me and Dan and then rate us.
Yep.
You have anything else to add? I feel like this podcast has been 78% nonsense.
Well, it's kind of a lackluster week and we're having fun. It's the first one in October, so we're laid back. But seriously, hook up that Spotify playlist. I want to give our like 9 listeners some tracks to get them through the holidays.
What's your track of the week? I've set up the playlist, but it's only really like 3 tracks right now.
Track of the week. That's tough. I'm going to go Mac DeMarco, Annie.
No, see, we already have. We only have like 3 songs, and one's already Mac DeMarco.
Oh, really?
You're going to have to branch out, Dan.
Well, I really only listen to Mac and UMO these days. It's pretty
How about some Hoobastank?
Hoobastank's out.
How about some Marcy Playground?
I've been trying to explain that upstate New York Marcy Playground had multiple hits, not just one, and no one believes me.
They had three hits, Dan, in upstate New York. They had,
Three.
I'll break it down for you. This podcast is
Go
going to
right.
go a little long, folks, but
I don't care. Leave all
Marcy
this in.
Playground had a song called Sex and Candy. Some of you might have heard it. Then they had a second hit in upstate New York only called Saint Joe and the School Bus. And then they had a third hit, again, upstate New York only called Sherry Frazier. I know this because I own the Marcy Playground CD. I own many CDs of so-called one-hit wonders that had like four hits in upstate New York.
Okay, fine.
That's
Here's
another topic for another time. Bands that were considered one-hit wonders worldwide, but had at least three hits in upstate New York.
there's a couple of them. So here we go. We're gonna do an upstate New York hit from the past. We're gonna go Monster Magnet Space Lord. There you go. That's the track of the week. It's probably on right now. I'm guessing it is.
It's definitely Scorch and Rain Man have got they've gotten together to play it on K-Rock in upstate New York. That's their new tourism thing, Dan. They come to Central New York, we still have radio. It's so far it's been an ineffective tourism campaign. It's not brought in the kind of numbers they've been hoping for.
You're actually true. I've never thought of that. Like, people still listen to like only the radio. They're like, I'm serious. You're like, what do you mean? What's like, you're seriously listening to 93 Q?
All right, Dan, I guess we got to wrap it up there. Otherwise, this podcast is going to go on 3 hours and we're just going to be talking about like Dovetail Joints' greatest hits.
Yep, a lot of hits. Local H had like seven songs on the radio.
Big Oaf, who had zero hits everywhere else, had at least three and maybe four.
Hold on, it's not Big Oaf, it's Big Wreck, the song The Oaf. That's right.
I'm getting old if I mess that one up.
I am still locked in.
Yeah, I remember Fountains of Wayne before they had Stacy's Mom. They had like 12 hit songs in upstate New York.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Regional radio, always good. My parents would always say when they were in Pittsburgh, like, like a headlining act like The Who or Led Zeppelin would come and play one night, but then like Kansas would come and they'd play two nights. So like it made no sense. And I think it's the same shit in upstate New York, so there's a good analogy for you.
At least it's better than here in Connecticut, where every concert is just a country album. And it's all these kids, these rich kids pull up in their BMWs and then put on their cowboy hat and roll in.
That's unbearable.
Yeah, it's great. Anyway, I think the point is that Syracuse is turning into the new Hazleton, Pennsylvania, where
Yeah, it
people are going
is.
to be taking their kids in 2030 and they're going to be like, we got a new song for you. This one's from Marcy Playground. It's called Saint Joe and the School Bus. And here it is. Dan, we've really
Is
faded
it?
out at the end of this podcast.
I'm kind of tired out, but
Yeah.
next week we're gonna have more energy, more hits, more questionable jokes.
Like Marcy Playground, the hits will never end.
I like it, but seriously, hook up that Spotify. I'm gonna add some tunes.
Okay. Thank you everyone for listening. Oh, I want to thank DJ Tig because we always forget to mention him. He made the theme song and he's a good friend of
Yeah.
Dan's and I haven't met him, but he sounds cool as hell. And thank you. We appreciate it. And thanks everyone for listening
Take the point.
and we'll see you later.
Peace.